This morning, we want to continue a series. We began at this is the third of four lessons from Flannelgraph. Many of us went to class when we were younger. We remember the stories very well. Those stories, our teachers would take those pieces and place them, and that visual along with hearing the stories, boy, I still remember them. And I thought, why not just go back and go back? Some of those stories are not stories that should be relegated to children's classes. They have very adult lessons and things that we need to be reminded of. And so I've been going in the resource room and laying out these boards, taking a picture, and then I readjust the board and take another picture, and that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks. This past week, Kim was helping me, and like I said, you can come up and play with me anytime. It's enjoyable. I've really enjoyed putting these together. In fact, as I'm putting them together, I'm just kind of talking to myself out loud and telling the story and laying people down, and she said, and I was doing this, and I looked up, and Kim was standing there going, just looking at me funny. I felt like I was crazy. But anyway, it's been very enjoyable. This morning's lesson is on the story of Naaman. The passage comes from 2 Kings chapter 5. If you want to open your Bible, you might want to turn it there for reference. But it's a very familiar story with probably many of you. But some of the things that are contained in this story, you know, this narrative is not just narrative. There are principles that we can learn from today as I try to walk with Jesus and live a Christian life. There are things I can go back to this Old Testament story and say, oh, I learned from this. Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army during the days of Israel. And he was successful. In fact, the Bible says that God even was with him as he did some of the things that he did. But that last word, or that last phrase, as he is being described, a man of valor, a captain, successful, but he was a leper. You know, that just trumped everything. What are you going to do with a leper? I mean, eventually it's going to take his life. He's going to have to be separated from everybody else. He's ruined. And he knows that. And on one of the raids that they had just recently done, they had captured a little Israelite girl. And they had brought her back, and he decided to make that captive a servant, kind of like a maid, to his wife. And this little Israelite girl noticed that Naaman had leprosy. And she was talking to Naaman's wife one day and said, you know, it's a shame we weren't back home. Because back home, I know a guy that could fix him. You see, there's a prophet of God in Israel, and he has powers through God, and he could heal him of this leprosy. And I can just hear that wife of Naaman say, really? You're not kidding me? This is real? Are you just telling me a story, or is this real? No, it's real. There's a man, a prophet of God, who can help your husband. And so they go to Naaman and tell him, she knows someone who can fix you, who can heal you by the power of the God of Israel. And Naaman is interested. And really, here's the first point that I'd like to make from this story is this. This girl, this young girl, I don't know what her situation was. I doubt very seriously if she went willingly to leave her home. She's probably separated from her family, drug off into this new place to live as a servant to this Syrian, and her life's been turned upside down. Not anything she'd choose for herself. Probably her family, many of those that she knew before, probably may have died at the hands of this man. And now she's his servant, but she sees he has a problem. And what does she do? She tells him how to get fixed. She tells him of a remedy. That's praiseworthy, I think. Sometimes, not even with our enemies, but with our friends, we may know things that help them and we stay silent. We don't share the good news. and we allow them to suffer when we know of ways that they can be helped and we do nothing. This woman would have had, or this young girl would have had reason to have kept that information to herself. This guy has hauled me off, taken me from my mom and dad, has killed my brother, has, you know, I'm sure there are people, you know, she could talk about all the things that they did in this raid. I'm not telling him anything. Good enough for him. That's not her attitude. She says, I know a man who can heal you by the power of the God he serves. And I want us to develop that same heart that that little girl had. There are people every day that we come in contact with who are lost, and they have something worse than leprosy. They have sin in their life. We all sin, but some of us have the blood of Jesus to cover our sins, and there are many people who haven't yet come in contact with that blood, and we see them every day, and we know there's a remedy for them, and we stay silent. We don't point them in the direction. Oh, we can't make them do it. This young girl couldn't make Naaman go to the prophet, but at least she could say, there is this opportunity for you. Do what you will with it. Can we not do the same to those who with whom we come in contact? There is a Savior, and he can cleanse you of your sin. He can take you from death to life, give you eternal life. Do what you will with the information. Let's be like that girl. Well, Naaman is impressed with that. Okay, I'm not synced either, so can you hit the button twice, maybe, to advance? All right. So here's what Naaman does. He goes to the king, and he goes to the king of Israel with a letter from the king of Syria. And the letter, I've written a lot of recommendation letters in my time. People come to me and say, I'm wanting to get into college. Can you write me a letter of recommendation? I've written a lot of letters like that. Well, the king of Syria, Naaman goes to him and says, hey, can you help me? I hear there's a prophet over here in Israel. I want to go see him. And so he says, okay, I'll write you a letter. And he wrote this letter out to the king of Israel and said, I'm writing this on behalf of Naaman. He's coming to you. He's a good man. He has leprosy. Thank you if you'd heal him. And so Naaman carries this letter to the king of Israel, and the king reads it, and he tears his clothes. I mean, he it's a sign of mourning, and he can't, what in the world are you asking of me? Can I heal you? And he said, I can't heal you. Why would you, do you have something against me? I mean, are you trying to pick a fight with me? You would send a man to me and tell me to heal him? I can't do that. You see, Naaman made a mistake. He went to the king instead of the prophet. The king of Israel, well, there were none of the kings of Israel who were godly men. They were all men who had problems in their life and who weren't following the Lord. And this king, he's not the guy to go to. Naaman went to the wrong man to help him with his problem. And isn't that one of the problems that we face today as well? How many times when you talk to somebody about the Bible do they say, well, let me get back with you. I want to talk to my mom and dad, see what they have to say. I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk to your mom and dad, but your mom and dad might be wrong. Your mom and dad may not have proper understanding. Well, let me go talk to my preacher and see what they... Well, you know, your preacher might be wrong. I might be wrong. There are a lot of people that we go to and use them as sources of authority when really, you know what we need to be doing? We need to be picking this up and going to it and finding answers. I can tell you the wrong thing. I can have good motives, a good heart, and I can just be mistaken. But you know how you can make sure and wade through all that fallibility of man? You know how you can make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do and not being misled by good, honest, fallible people? By picking the book up. Listen, this book was written with words. And we're good at using words. We communicate every day with people. by the use of words. My wife and I, we talk all the time, and we tend to understand each other pretty well. If she would tell me to go to the store and get a gallon of milk on the way home today, I wouldn't say, I wonder what she meant by that. What'd she mean by a gallon of milk? I'd know exactly what she meant. Get a gallon of milk. You know, words are meant to be understood. We speak words to, and we take them literally unless the context demands that we take them in another way. And when we go to the Bible, we can understand what the Bible says, what it intends for us to do. We've been doing it a long time. We communicate through the use of words. And so if you have a Bible question, then you need to go to the Bible for the answer. Oh, people can help you. They can point you to passages in the Bible, but don't take their word as the final word. You let God speak to you and give you the answer. This man went to the wrong man for his help. Sometimes we do the same. We're content to listen to the voice of a man rather than the voice of God. Well, here's what happens. When the king rends his clothes, the prophet Elijah hears about this. And Naaman left, and I suppose he left disappointed, but the prophet caught up with him and got word to Naaman and said, hey, I'm the man you need to talk to. Come talk to me. And so this Naaman, the leper, he's probably pretty excited about this. We understand that he had some thoughts in his mind as to what would happen. And so he comes to Elisha's house, the prophet of God, the man who can heal him. And before he gets to the house, Elisha sends a servant out of the house to meet Naaman and to tell him what he needed to do. Now, here's what I find interesting. Because if Naaman was proud, and he started out a little proud, this could have really thrown him. Because here's what happened. Elisha doesn't even come out to see him. And if he is all full of himself, hey, listen, I'm a captain in the Syrian army. I have a letter from the king. I'm respected. And I come to this man's house, and he doesn't even have the courtesy to come out and look at me face to face. You're kidding me. He just sends out a servant to speak to me, and he doesn't even say boo to me. He could have had that mindset. In fact, he says, that's not what I thought would happen. You see, Elisha sent out a servant and said, and the servant came to Naaman and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the Jordan River, and I want you to dip 7 times in that river, and you'll be cleansed. One thing about that instruction is clear. It's easy to understand. The remedy that God gave was not some complicated thing where he said, oh man, what am I... I don't get it. I don't understand this. What am I supposed to do? It's so plain. Go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times and you'll be cleansed. God doesn't play games with us. He wants good for us. He wants to bless us. And he doesn't make anything so difficult that we'll never figure out how to get to heaven. 2 Peter tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the instruction was clear. Is God clear to us today? How do I get rid of my sins? I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that Jesus took on flesh and came to the earth and he died for my sins. I really do believe that. But how do I respond to what he did for me? How do I get saved? Peter answered that very question in Acts 2, and it's not complicated, it's not hard. It's just as plain as can be. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to do exactly what Peter said. It was plain to them, and it's just as plain today. Sometimes we can want to argue and make things difficult, but listen, the word is there. It's plain. It's simple. God wants you to understand it. We just need to obey it. That was Naaman's case. Go wash, dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman didn't like what he had to hear. In fact, he said, that's not the way I thought it would be. As I was coming over here, I was thinking in my own mind how it would be. And I imagined the prophet, not some servant of the prophet, I imagined the prophet standing before me and saying, and waving his hands over me and saying, you're cleansed. That's the way I imagined it in my mind. Not going out and getting wet in some dirty old river, told by a servant and not the prophet himself. You kidding me? He was mad. And he started to go home. But one of his servants said, Naaman, think about this. Had he asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it, right? Well, all he's asked you to do is go dip in the river. Will you not do it? That resonated with Naaman, and he said, all right, I'll do it. Even though there are better rivers back home, I'll go ahead and do what you asked me to do. So he goes down to the river, and he gets in, and he dips once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. That's what the man of God said. Dip seven times in the river, and you'll be cleansed. Upon the seventh dip in the river, he came up, and the Bible says that his skin was healed. He no longer had leprosy. In fact, it describes it as, you know, sometimes we describe the softness of a person's skin in terms of, you know, the skin of a baby. You know, baby's skin is so soft. The Bible says his skin was like that of a baby's. Probably took some razzing over that when he went back to his troops, you know, his soft hands and soft skin and all that. But he was completely cleansed. And it, again, just another practical lesson. Why in the world did he have to dip seven times in the Jordan River to get cleansed? I don't know. That's just the terms that God set forth. It was just a display, I guess, to see, do you trust me? Will you really do what I ask you to do? And he did, and God blessed him. And how many times today do you hear people say, I don't see why I have to get baptized to be saved. I don't see why I have to get in the water. There's no power in that water. No, there's not. And there was no power in the Jordan River either to cleanse a man of his leprosy. That doesn't happen by some natural phenomenon. There's no medicinal power to those waters. The power was in God, and those were the conditions that God set forth, and it was received by obedient faith. And the same is true today. There's no power in the water back here to save a man from his sins. That's a spiritual transaction that God grants to you. But that's just the condition he gave. We can scratch our head all day and say, well, why seven times? Why not one time? Why not two times? Why dip in the first place? I don't have a single answer to a single one of those questions. All I know is that's what God said. And I don't have answers to, why does God want you to be baptized? I mean, why not just express your faith in Jesus, turn from your sin, and we'll say a prayer and we'll go home? That's not what he said. He said, I want you to be baptized into Christ. You either take his word or you don't. You either get kind of puffed up and say, I just don't see the sense in that, and I'm going home, like Naaman almost did. Or you humble yourself and you do whatever the Lord requests. You know, I've found that when people are desperate, they'll do whatever they're told. They don't argue. Maybe we're not desperate enough. Maybe we haven't understood the consequences of our sin like we should. Maybe we need to help people understand what's at stake so that they understand and realize their desperation in the eyes of God, and they listen regardless. They're just thankful that there is a way. They don't argue about what that way is. We need to respond as Naaman. Naaman was cleansed because he obeyed God. And that story was put in the Bible for a reason. And as we've gone through the story, the narrative, I think we have identified some of the reasons that give the story value even today. We need to listen to God. We need to go to the right person. We need to listen to the voice of God and do what it says, regardless of whether it makes sense to us or not. And when we do what he asks us to do, he'll bless our lives. Naaman was blessed because he obeyed God. We today will be blessed if we obey God. Have you obeyed him? Well, what do I need to do to obey him? Well, what's the word? What does he have for me to do? Well, for Naaman, it was go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. For us today, whose problem isn't leprosy but sin, here's what he told us to do. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't done that, don't argue with it. Don't try to say, oh, I don't understand why. You don't have to understand the why of it. You just have to understand that's what God asked me to do. I'm going to humble myself and do it. If you haven't done that this morning, we'll assist you in that. If you're a child of God already, you've done that, but you haven't been faithful. Back to the first part, maybe you're like that girl in the beginning of the story. Have you been telling others of the good that God can do for them? This girl knew that this man needed help, and she spoke to him of the help that was available. Maybe we haven't been talking enough. Maybe we haven't been sharing the good news that we've experienced with others like we should, and maybe we need strength and prayers to be more faithful in our mission as children of God. If you're here this morning and you need to respond to the invitation to be baptized, or if you want the prayers of your brethren, we'll pray with you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.